Okay, we are live at Sunday School, Crane Christian Church, and it's 9:14. We're not doing too bad, considering. Yeah, it's 11:14. You know, it's just a number. 7:14. It's all just numbers. I don't know why y'all always get hung up on little stuff. You know, starting on time, getting a haircut, staying out of jail. It's just all, you know, it's a complicated life. Okay, Psalm 91. We're going to start out just like we did last week. I'm going to be reading it, the entire psalm, before we start in the message. And before I do, I do want to say this, though. Guys, I have friends who I don't have clearance to talk about this on live. Who are struggling for their life this morning in another state. I have friends who have had a bad diagnosis in this state. I have friends who are getting ready to have a funeral. How many of you know that in this life there is trouble? And I was actually communicating with a guy last night, giving me some news, and I remember my mom and dad. I don't know, I've said this before, I'm sure, but toward the end of their life, you know, when I was a kid, they were my pastors. My mom was a Bible teacher, my dad was a pastor. My mom was, she was, the prayer phone was in our house, you know. Anyway, but one of the things that my mom and dad shared with me when they got a little bit older was that they got so tired of burying and visiting their sick friends and burying their loved ones and their friends. And that's just part of life, guys. And the problem is Adam sinned, and now we live our life. But I have some great news this morning. It's not just good news, it's fantastic news, it's outrageous news, it's unbelievable news. And that is that eternity is a very long time, and we will be there someday, all of us at different times probably, or unless the Lord wants to come back this afternoon. I had a guy tell me that yesterday. Hey, if he wants to come back tonight, I'm ready. So Psalm 91, but while we're here, let's occupy till he comes, and let's be faithful with what he's given us. Being the representative, I was reading some stuff this morning that was talking about the power of attorney and how that related to when Jesus said, all power, all authority has been given to me. Now, go into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. We have his power. And, you know, one of the things that the Bible talks about, the Holy Spirit, is the paraclete, which is the comforter, which is the counselor, which is when I go into court, I will, many times they will address one another not as, oh, there's Mr. Juris Doctorate. No, they call him the counselor. He's my counselor. My counsel is here, my counsel is there. And what a wonderful thing he does for us. So watch this, out of the message. You who sit down in God's holy presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow, saying, God, you are my refuge. I trust in you, and I am safe. His presence is where we're safe, guys. His presence. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under that, you are perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing. Not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows during the day, not diseases that prowl through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around, drop like flies right and left, no harm will ever even graze you. You'll stand untouched. Watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge. the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. If you hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of trouble. Do you believe that? The key is hold on, guys. Don't let loose. It's not time to quit walking when you're walking through fire. That's the time to kind of speed it up a little bit, okay? If you hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If you only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer, be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. Now, a lot of people read the message and they go, well, you know, that's, well, I want to tell you, this, I tell this about twice a year. When I first, I love it the way my Baptist brothers say it, surrendered to the ministry, because that's what I did. I'd been running a long time and I surrendered, okay? And there was a big controversy 25 years ago, it probably still is in some people, it's not with me, over versions and this one says this, there's all kind of funny jokes and not so funny jokes made about different versions. But here's the deal about translations. And I am not, you know, God's given me what I need to do, what I do. How's that? I'm not a scholar. I am kind of a nerd. But here's the deal, guys. I will never forget when I was in I had a tiny little office down there in Lampion. It was tiny, just a little bit. It was a closet before that. And they decorated for me. It's nice. It's really sweet. Had my own exit. If I saw somebody come in the front, I didn't want to talk about it. I could run out the back. Anyway, it's a great thing. But anyway, but the point being is this, guys. I was handed, everybody was talking about the original King James Version. I was handed like a 1612 or whatever year that was, version of that thing. And I had one of those, a King James and a New King James, all beside each other. And I was like, I was reading that original King James Version, and I didn't know what it said. I had no idea. And so the versions that we read, I use the New King James for what I'm preaching, but I'm going to tell you, I study out all of them. But what I did, as I was so smart, and I was going through the Berean School of the Bible. So what I did was every time I taught, I took every text and broke it down, but either Greek or Hebrew, and tried to look up each word and wrote it out. And I'm not kidding, guys. This was like a light bulb in a dark room. A light bulb in a dark room. You know how bright that is, okay? If I light one in here, it'll just help a little bit. But in a dark room, you turn that on, it's like, ta-da! Like when they got the little light bulb over their head in the cartoons. That's the way I felt. As I'm looking at that, about the 10th time I did that, spent hours doing that. And then I would read this translation, I'm like, they've already done the work for me. Why am I doing that? Because it's like in some words that this translation will go with this word, and this one will go this. And when you look at the original word, you go, yeah, I see where they got that. Yeah, I see where they got that. And guess what? God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? So I haven't done that in many years, just for to be conservative, time conservative. Anyway, so I still look up individual words. But anyway, as we look at this, this is what I want to talk about. First point that I wanted to make this morning, which I probably made last week also, is this. I want you to imagine that you're who you are, you're standing, and you're looking down at a 36-inch ruler. yardstick, right? Everybody know what a yardstick is. If you've never been beat with a yardstick, you've not gone to school in Camden. Okay, so as you look down at that, I want you to imagine that there is a tiny insect on that yardstick. And he or she, as you look down at that little insect, is like at just prior to 1 inch mark. And I'm up here and I can see where that ant's going. I can see the whole yardstick, okay? But that ant has no idea what's past number two, number three, number, right? And I want to tell you, that's a crude demonstration of how much greater God is. All things are working together for your good. And you know, the devil is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does do. But listen, God is in charge. And as I look at this, I want you to know that God sees your eternity. He's already in eternity with you now. Okay, he's still back here before you were born. And you go, how's that possible? Because one author described God like this. He is the complete other. If you don't think he's in charge of time, they're fighting a battle and they need a little bit more light. Okay, and he just stops the sun. Did that happen? Uh-huh. Is that what happened? They're fighting. God just stops it. He's in charge. Okay, he's already there. And I want to tell you something. In the next service, we're going to get into some Psalms talking about what happened on the cross. Jesus is quoting Psalms that David wrote, but God was there inspiring, breathing that into David, knowing, I mean, you see what I'm saying? Okay, so is God in charge or not?
Yes.
If you trust that, you will have lower blood pressure. I promise you. I'm serious. And listen, do what the Bible says. Follow what the Word of God says. It gives you peace. I mean, it literally makes the road less bumpy. How many of y'all like a smooth road? Yeah, there's not many of them down south. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. So, there's these guys that, I'm not going to tell that joke, but I'm going to go ahead and use this story. Daniel 3 talks about three friends of mine. And they are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? I'm not going to get into all the meanings of the names. I'm not going to get into all that this morning because we don't have time. Study it. It's wonderful. Daniel 3. But I want to tell you, this is the part of the story, to me, that ties into Psalms 91. They have been brought in. They're essentially captives, okay? And not slaves like working on buildings and stuff, but it would be like if Crane was one kingdom, Galena was another, and we went down there and we conquered Galena, and we'd take out some of the young basketball players to make our basketball team better. We'd say, okay, this is gonna be, yeah, y'all gonna come work for us now because we're now in charge. Does that make sense? But this wasn't basketball, okay? But this was running a country. This was raising up for the next generation. So they bring those guys down there. But guess what? They were trained and knew the one true God. They knew you see what I'm saying? Yahweh was their God, okay? And these people are heathens, okay? And so he thinks it's a good idea to build a big image. And this image is 90 feet tall. I guess it's outside. I don't know that. But it's 90 feet tall. And he makes the king says this. He says, when I play the music, when the horn blows or whatever it is, okay, the drums start or whatever, everybody bows. Everybody bows. And I want to tell you, if you haven't reached it yet in your life, there will be a time when you have to make a choice whether you're going to do the right thing or what everybody else wants you to do. Okay? And there's pressure. You get that? There's pressure. And Here's the deal. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about things that violate God's word. But watch this. Here's the deal. They said, no. No. We're not going to bow. And in the encapsulation of what they said, because see, I want you to get this in light of Psalms 91. Encapsulated in what they said, no. It's a paragraph and a half. It's a paragraph. But what they said is no. What they said is no. I'm not going to do that. And here's the deal. God can save me or not. But no. If it hurts, no. If it feels good, no. This is what God says. I will not bow. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Watch this. This is how it ties into this. Fear comes like a roaring lion seeking those to whom he may devour. Because I want to tell you, we talked about it last week. Fear will make, your boy David used to stand behind a door. He would come in early, stand behind a door, and one of my kids would come in, and he'd reach out and grab them real quick, and they would jump and scream. David loved to do that, and I love to watch. So, but anyway, but here's the deal, guys, all joking aside. If you will do things because of fear or out of fear, and what I want to tell you in reading this and studying this, we do not have to be afraid, and we can say no. And whether it's comfortable, because how many of y'all like to be comfortable? I really do. I love to be comfortable. Sometimes more than others. But in this life, there will be, and there's going to be a little uncomfortableness. And in that, you can say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to push through. And what these guys did is said no. And I want to tell you how bad it was. How many of y'all been through some stuff? My favorite word, stuff. Stuff happens. But watch this, guys. In the middle of that stuff, what happened is, as they're walking in, it made the king so mad that he said, make it seven times hotter. They're going to be thrown into the furnace. Make it seven times hotter. I don't know how you measured that back in those days without a thermostat, but just throw a bunch of wood on it or whatever, okay? And the guys that threw them in got burned up. Don't you think, okay, point number two, don't mess with God's anointed. Christians do some stupid stuff, me included. If you don't, I can't know that person. Listen, people do stupid stuff. If they didn't, I wouldn't have my other job, okay? But no, I'm serious. But the point is that it costs when you come against God's anointed. And I want to tell you, when I read something that somebody did something stupid, I don't tell nobody. I don't think it's my responsibility to make sure everybody knows. I think it's my responsibility to either talk to them in person or pray for that person. And you're like, what? Yeah, there's this thing called the Bible, the New Testament. And it kind of tells us how to deal with problems. But watch this. Those guys were destroyed. They were just being obedient to their master. Okay? And so then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fire. And I don't know, don't try to be funny, I wasn't there, but I don't know what they said, other than no, okay? They got thrown in, and the king, from a vantage point, looks down there and says, this is my version of it, I'm confused. Wait, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But now there's four. I see four people down there now, and one has the appearance of the Son of God. Now watch this. Holding on to Psalms 91, praying Psalms 91, preaching Psalms 91, living Psalms 91, that he will take care of us. And no matter if it's in eternity, whether it's today, or listen, in the stupid stuff I've done from the past has been washed away. When he said, "Tetelestai, it's paid for." I can have peace. But what it does is when the people on the outside, the unbelievers, or the friend of mine used to call them pre-Christians. They just ain't seen him yet. They're going to. Hope it's in time. They're going to see him. Okay, because every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're like, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm going to be there. But anyway, watch this, guys. Literally, he testifies to the fact this heathen, as my mama would say, this heathen that has caused all this, actually the enemy caused all of it, but God evidently allowed it, because I'm still talking about it a long time later, thousands of years, I'm guessing. I mean, I'm not real good with time. You know, I do have some very nice timepieces. Anyway, but the point being is this, guys. He testified to the fact that, guess what? God's in charge. And let's just go to that scripture for a second, because I want to read you what he ends up saying. Daniel, that's in the Bible. Ezekiel, then Daniel. Yeah, there it is. Daniel, okay. So, verse 24, 3 and 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. I'm ready for the world to be astonished for what God's doing for his people. Astonished. When they go through something, they go, you know what? Guess what? God's in charge. That's astonishing. Most people say, oh no, oh no, oh no. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, in other words, he's surrounded with some folks, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and they said, it's true, O king. That's right. You're right, sir. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, because they were bound when they went in there. And I'm going to tell you something. This is point number three. Sometimes when I'm going through stuff, we're going through the fire, I get free. And I don't care that much what somebody else thinks. I'm serious. Guess what? God's doing something. And if you want to be part of it, you need to be free. Because if you're bound by tradition, if you're bound by legalism, if you're bound, I want to tell you something. When you get into that fire, I want to tell you, listen, another friend of mine who is with Jesus this morning, David Dillard, he come to my house. I was working undercover narcotics, had three kids, staying out all night, trying to get to church on Sunday morning, sitting on the back row with my kids squalling while he's trying to preach. And I want to tell you something. He's and Kim felt like she needed to tell him, hey, we ain't real Baptists. We was raised Pentecost. And he said, it's okay. He said, my favorite prayer partner is Pentecostal. He's and I'll never forget, and we had a long conversation, which I will not share. But here's the point. The point was, hey, we're all in this together, aren't we? And I want to tell you, when I ask you to pray for me, I'm not going to talk to you about too deep about your theology. If you can holler out to Jesus, then you're on my side. If you are you following me? Okay, I'm not going to get too much into too much more, because I want to do what matters, to focus on what matters. He says, and he has the form, and the fourth is like, they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And another version, or that the way that's written, he could be saying a son of the gods, because he doesn't follow Yahweh. But you see what I'm saying? So Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have trusted the king's word and yielded their bodies. They should not serve and not worship any god except their own God. Therefore, now look at verse 29, guys. I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. This guy is, he's like driving all over the road. He needs to get out of the ditches. I mean, first time he's throwing them in the fire because they won't bow to him. So now he's saying, right? He said, oh my goodness. It was the great aha moment for him. Are you following me? Have y'all had the aha moment yet? I have. I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Guess what? The Bible's right. Okay. So, and shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, which I have to be careful when I say, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province of Babylon. The fourth point is this, guys. Sometimes prior to promotion, there comes a problem. And I've had some conversations in the last week, which shall remain unsaid, but I want to tell you that in those conversations, there is a move of the Holy Spirit. And it's so sweet, because 40 years ago, I'm not exaggerating, 38 years, okay, I'm not real good with numbers, you know, math are hard, but here's the deal. I was part of a small Bible study, and we would study and study and study and study, and we'd pray and see God, and God would say something, and I'd go like, are you sure? I mean, it was in there, but it was like, are you sure? I'd look at it, and like, we'd talk about it amongst ourselves. We'd pray about it, see what it means, see what we should do about it. And then there'd be a conference somewhere. Doesn't matter where, Texas, Arkansas, Missouri, and we'd go to the conference. And guess what would happen? Usually the first night. We didn't read that. We didn't hear that on TV. This was not a podcast. This was something. Guess what? The person would get up there and say, well, I've got to talk about something tonight. I'm not, you know, and he'd begin to lay it out. Well, we had just studied, and it's like, that's nice. I'm not crazy. God knows what he's doing. And here's the deal, God. His spirit right now, he has a, we have a bride. We are his bride. And if that bothers you, I'm sorry. Boys, if that bothers you, you're part of the bride, okay? And I don't mind a bit, because Jesus is the groom. And it's a spiritual position. And I want to tell you, he is gathering his bride. He is crying out this morning, saying, all ye who are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, which is easy and light. And you're like, well, man, my life, we ain't talking about your life. He was speaking specifically as a Hebrew rabbi, and each rabbi had their own yoke. And that was not a physical thing. It was their teachings. He says, my teaching is easy and my burden is light. So in another place, it says, it's so simple that a child need not err from the truth. Because the truth is, I want to tell you, this is Easter's next week, and I'm going to try not to get into it because it's going to be hard because I'm excited about it. But the truth is, next in a few minutes, we're going to be, about 11:40, we're going to be live streaming about him on the cross and the just the reality of what he did and the simplicity of the gospel. And we make it so complicated. It can't be that good. Well, people don't believe me because if you're not old enough, you know, they used to sell Mavericks, Ford Maverick for $19.95. Now, not $19, it's $1,900.95 with a little shipping and handling probably. You tell a kid that today and they're like, you mean, that's not true. You couldn't get a car for $19.95. You know why? It's because they haven't experienced it. Because now it's not possible. You see what I'm saying? But I want to tell you, Jesus died on the cross for you. And if you haven't experienced it, you'll say, that's too easy. That's too, you know, what I have is this book of rules and I'm going to follow these. And if we follow these rules good enough and I get more yeses than no in the voting category in heaven, or, you know, I'm voted in. No, that's not the way it works. He is our dad. You are chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth. And he loves you. And he chose you. And I want to tell you, he paid the price for you. And he's waiting on you to say, yes, Dad. Yes, Dad. Because I want to tell you, he loves you more than you could ever imagine. He's also my kinsman redeemer. The devil stole everything. He stole my peace. He stole my future. I was hounded by my past. And he has redeemed me with his own blood. And he said, I am yours and you are mine. He's our dad. He's our kinsman redeemer, and he is our soon coming king. So, Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for Psalms 91. And it's got me stirred up, Lord. And I know, Lord, that as we sit in your presence, as we dwell with the Most High God, that there is peace. And Lord, I speak peace to those this morning, Lord, that are so troubled, that are struggling so much with what's going on in this earth, with what's going on in politics, what's going on in their bodies. It seems everyone is struggling, God. And Lord, I pray this morning for them. I'm not going to name them by names, Lord. But Lord, I pray for them this morning, and they know who they are. And God, help them this morning. And Lord, speak to us today. Let us be the men and women you've called us to be. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. God bless you.